Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome into another episode of 5 Out. We're talking power rankings today. We also got to talk about MJ's comments about Steph Curry. Might have been taken out of context by pretty much everybody. We'll try and clear that up. If you haven't already, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. We're also on the radio.com app. If you want a free t-shirt, leave a rating and a review. Send it to us on Twitter or Instagram at 5OutPod. We have larges and XLs only. Limited amount of those guys, and they're free. All you got to do is rate and review the show. Let's get it going.
You say 5 Out. What do you mean by that?
Look, I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah, I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. I'm just trying to spend the night with it. Yeah. I just want to be alright with it. Yeah.
So we're in the middle of the Raptors. Oh, the Raptors ring ceremony just ended. You could not contain yourself. Jesus, man. You tell me how you really feel about the Raptors winning the title.
I guess it just makes me realize how good Kawhi is, because the team that just came out and got their rings, I know Kawhi's not there, but that's a collection of some average at best players.
I forget that they have Serge sometimes. I really do.
I mean, he's not the player he was on the Thunder. Right? He's not that. No. I don't think he's that impactful.
He's good, but he's not.
And yeah. Kyle Lowry, to me, has always been overrated. I personally am just not a fan.
So, would you call him a 2A player, 2B?
2B.
2B. I think that's pretty fair. I've thought 2A before, but
I'm not a fan. It's just my personal preference. I just don't think I think he's just so overrated.
Yeah, I definitely think he's,
especially when he's on the All-Star teams.
He was overrated. Do you still think he is, though? I don't think he's...
Kyle Lowry?
Yeah, I don't think held in as high regard as once was.
Nah, I think, keyword, once was.
Yeah.
You're right.
But, I mean, then you got Siakam out there who just got his bag.
He got paid. I mean, I actually kind of like him, but we talked last show, I just don't think he's worth that money.
No, he's not. And him and Buddy Hield, like I didn't say in the emergency podcast, they are what forced the Celtics to pay Jaylen Brown the amount of money that he got. Was $115 million, but I think there were some incentives in there. I think Jay King of The Athletic reported that as like 103 base, easy incentives, and then some difficult incentives in there too. But anyway, we're doing our power ranking show. Been waiting to do this for a while. Figured why not start the season off the right way. And the way we calculated this was Ty, Matt, and I all came up with our 30 teams, 1 through 30, and then I decided it would be a good idea to do an aggregate power ranking, so it's representative, it keeps the show a little bit tighter, we'll talk about our personal rankings in the course of it all. I did not realize the math was going to be that complicated. I friggin' hate math. It was such a dumbass move on my part. I'm surprised that I didn't screw this up, but I think it's ironclad. It's definitely ironclad.
We'll take your word for it.
Yeah, exactly. And you can see the whole list of power rankings if, you guys want to follow along. It's on WEI.com if you want to skip ahead and don't want to wait to see where each team falls. We won't waste too much time on the bottom dwellers, but we do got to touch on them a little bit. So I'll rattle off the first five. 30, the Cavs. 29, the Hornets. 28, the Grizzlies. 27, the Knicks. And then 26, the Wizards. Now, who didn't have the Cavs as their bottom team?
Me.
How do you? You had the Hornets as your bottom team, right?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I hate Terry Rozier, and I hope he's the worst on the worst team.
You hate Terry Rozier? I didn't know.
No, I can't stand him anymore.
I didn't. Why?
How he acted all last year.
That's fine.
And then when he went on First Take after the season was over, that pissed me off beyond belief. He is such a selfish, self-centered piece of shit. Wow. That I'm all set with him. Go make your money, bro. Go make your money. I think that team sucks too.
They do suck. You both had Cavs as the second worst team on your list.
I did, but my worst team wasn't the Cavs and it wasn't the Hornets.
No, it wasn't.
And I had the Grizzlies.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
they're horrible.
No,
they
be horrible.
Are miserably bad.
They'll be okay.
They're not good. But
Mike Conley's gone. Marc Gasol's gone. Can you name another player there?
I mean, they got yes.
There,
John Morant,
Jackson.
John Morant's gonna lead that
no,
team.
But
no,
but Jackson,
to
Jackson's
not
pretty good.
Jaren Jackson's pretty good.
Oh, I don't know if I'd say pretty good. He's okay.
All right. Who's on the Hornets is better than that. See, yeah. I knew we were going to get into this argument because I hate everybody on the Hornets. I think the Hornets suck. But I won't argue with the Cavs.
You're sleeping on Cody Zeller too much.
I would put the... yeah, Cody Zeller sucks.
No, the Cavs...
I could put the Cavs...
How can you say that after the preseason game?
I'm just saying personally how I feel about... the Hornets and Terry Rozier.
Terry Rozier.
There's a little bit of bias in there.
Correct. That's why I said I'll argue with him about the Grizzlies because I don't think they're the worst team
I don't
in the
think
NBA.
They're the worst team in the NBA. I was stunned when I saw that one.
And now it could be a complete oversight for me. Is Nicholas Batum still in Charlotte?
I believe he is.
So you take Nicholas Batum.
Dude, he's been irrelevant for I don't even know how long.
For a while.
Hey, it's all right. Terry Rozier is taking like 30 shots a game. That'll lead them to the worst
he
team.
He is still with the Hornets.
I would take Terry and Batum over Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson. I almost call him Jalen.
Wait, say that again? You would take what?
I would take Rozier and Nicholas Batum over Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson.
Nope. I don't want anything. I don't want anything to do with Rozier.
I don't know what Jaren Jackson does well.
Yeah, Valencia is there too.
I take Ja Morant over Rozier in a second.
Oh, absolutely, I would. But as a package,
I'm not talking about building for the future.
Nope.
Morant's
gonna
be better.
Right now. Yes.
Really, he hasn't proven anything.
I don't care. I hate Rozier. I think he's so overrated.
Okay.
He's a black hole. What is it? He's going to run the show? Ja Morant, I already know, is a better pass than him. I'm not going to watch
him. There's no doubt about that.
Go ahead. Who do you want running your team? I don't care if he's unproven. I will take what I've seen with him in college right now than what I've seen with Rozier.
I feel like an idiot that I didn't know you didn't like him this much.
I'm telling you, it was the whole season buildup and then how he acted on First Take pissed me off because that just showed like what a little bitch he is.
Let's go back to the quote. What exactly is it that you did sacrifice, in your words?
Laughable answer.
I sacrificed, you know, obviously my talent, I think, the most.
I sacrificed,
you know,
my talent.
Me being out there and giving...
Okay, but pausing the clip because he has no idea how to answer this. I'm gonna keep on playing it just to piss off Matt.
My full style of play, how I play, how Terry Rozier play. I feel like I couldn't be that person this year.
And why do you feel you couldn't be that person?
You know, just obviously in the shadow of some guys. I feel like a lot of
he's so dumb.
A lot of the ball was. Either Kyrie or Gordon Hayward's hand most of the time. So I feel like, you know, either Terry Rozier is just in the corner or...
Stop referring to yourself as a third person.
You know, just on the bench.
Oh, my God.
It's totally a personal
Rozier
thing.
Is in the corner or...
Come on, you got to tell you me know, you listen to this and you like...
No, so when that all happened, I remember Reamer was still here.
He
wrote a column about how this was just normal and just that, you know, everybody has issues with the workplace, but Rozier has an outlet to do that. And I remember writing a response column saying there was absolutely nothing normal about what Terry Rozier
did. That's not normal. That says a lot about him as a player, his character, everything.
It was
dude,
bad.
Come on. Are you kidding me? You went on there just to vent about, oh, how much you sacrifice. Bro, shut up.
Just in the corner or, you know.
Oh, Terry was in the corner. It's like, bro, no, shut up.
Maybe that was the best place for you was to be on the bench or in the corner.
No, not even on the bench. Not even on the corner, Ty. On the bench.
You with the ball in your hand.
I don't dislike him as much as you do. Jeez.
Oh, well, he's even better. When it was your turn and it was game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals, what the hell did you do? Jack shit. You were no
Nothing.
Scary Terry my ass.
You were
You're
scared
0 for
Terry.
12.
Yes.
Get me out there hitting wide open shots,
That's
dude.
The thing about...
Come on. He was missing wide open shots.
No, I'm just thinking about you and talking about Langford all the time.
Tell Langford, bro.
Yeah,
I'm ready.
Matt has issued a challenge to Romeo Langford. He wants to have a 3-point shooting contest against him.
That guy's shot is broken. I'm in.
Yeah, I'd be kind of considering
concerned. I won't pick up a ball for like a month. I'll still go out there and shoot better than him.
When's the last time you played?
That's a good question. I haven't played in a while.
Wow.
Matt, who's your money on confident. In a 3-point contest, Ben Simmons or...
Romeo Langford.
Romeo Langford.
I'd go with Langford. I'd go with Romeo Langford based on what I've seen.
You've seen one made three from Ben. That's more than enough. He's a better shooter. Yeah.
All right. So the other teams that we that were in there too were the Knicks and the Wizards. I will say one thing about the Knicks. I think with Zion getting hurt, RJ Barrett is now my pick. And I said this on the Payday podcast. We're doing some crossover stuff with them. I think that RJ Barrett is now would be my pick to win Rookie of the Year over Ja Morant. I think that there's going to be a lot of attention on the Knicks because
the opportunity's there.
They're somewhat of a train wreck, but at the same time, now you have this one superstar possibly who could go and ascend into something. There's going to be focus on him with there being focus on the team, and I think that he will be in a prime position to get that, whereas Ja's in Memphis, and I think that's going to hurt him a little bit in the course of consideration. Then we have, so we'll go 25 to 21, I guess, the way I did it. So we got the Suns at 25, Timberwolves 24, 23 the Bulls, 22 the Hawks, 21 the Pistons. And we actually have sound of Draymond Green, right, talking about the Suns a little bit as an organization. What led to this, Ty?
So Marcus Chris is a former first-round pick. I think it was a one-and-done in college. I don't really remember him that much. But he went to the Suns, didn't do much, kind of a bust. New team, new place, and trying to turn it around. And Draymond Green doesn't really think that Marcus Chris got, like, the benefit of the doubt from the writers in Phoenix and from the organization itself.
I think he's been in some pretty tough situations. No one ever blames the situation, though. It's always the kid. No one ever blames these shitty franchises. Always want to blame the kid. It's not always the kid's fault. He's getting older now, so he's not a kid anymore. But, you know, he came into this league as a kid. But it's never the organization's fault. It's always that guy. So I'm happy he's got another opportunity to show what he can really do. It's, you know, it's a prime example. But no one's still to blame any organizations. It'll always be the kid fighting. It'll be the next kid that comes in fighting the next kid after that. So
that's not a bad point. We kind of cast off kids that don't really work out. Young kids like that who are like, I think he's like 22.
Yeah.
He's super young. And we kind of just say, okay, he's a bust. He's no good. And you kind of recycle those kids. But Draymond's got a point there, I think.
That I think it's a fair point.
You put a kid that young in a new place in a winning culture and things could turn around.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
It's like if you think about football, like how Belichick does it. He'll take your garbage and he makes it, you know, he finds a purpose for that player. And I think that's what happens to some of these kids. They go to these franchises and they go. Unless you're like a real superstar talent, like say, for instance, we'll get to him, Zion. But, you know, a guy like that, or you just brought up Barrett, like someone that can change.
Yeah, you know, the direction of a team.
Yeah, but you have to be really, really good. A guy like Chris, I think he's going to actually fit well. He could fit well with the Warriors. When you're at the Suns is just an awful place to be.
Yeah. And now, one that I was a little curious about with you guys was the Timberwolves. You both had them at 23. I had them at just a tick down at 25. They wound up at 24 for us. I don't know. I felt like you guys were just a little bit higher on them than me. It's not a big difference, but I was a little surprised by that.
I don't know. They still have good talent. They have two good players. I mean, I'm not a huge Wiggins guy, but
you had him ahead of the Bulls. I think that's what surprised me most.
I had him ahead of the Bulls?
You had him ahead of the Bulls. And Ty had him ahead of the Hawks. That one really surprised me.
No, I won't go that far. But the only reason I put him ahead of the Bulls is because Ty told me they're going to suck, so I believe what Ty tells
Thank
me.
Thank you. The Bulls.
Ty had him at 22.
I mean, I didn't copy off him. I'm just saying he told me.
I didn't give him the answers for this exercise.
He didn't give me the answer to the test. This is my teacher when it comes to the Bulls.
How the hell do you have the Hawks below the Timberwolves? That's the one I'm one of the ones I'm more surprised
with. I have never been a Trae Young believer. I mean, if you're not believing in the star player on the team, then you're not going to be as high on the team.
Definitely.
I mean, they have some really good young pieces. They could be a playoff team, but
that's the thing. They could be a playoff team. That's why I like
them. I don't like teams that are driven by a 6-foot point guard.
I mean,
that's
a
good point. I just like the talent around.
Right.
I like John Collins.
John's good. John's a good player. Very good player.
Definitely. I mean, but
yeah, Kevin, what, Herter is how you say his name?
I think that's how you say it. I'm not certain.
Bad kid from Maryland.
Moving on from Torian Prince is one that I still don't understand because the Nets are very high in him.
I don't get that.
When I've watched him, he looks good. He's shooting better from three than he did last year, and he's a good defender.
Yeah.
That's a move that's a head scratcher, but we'll get to him a little bit more later. So then that brings us to number 20. Once we get to top 10, we'll probably start slowing it down a little bit with the grouping. So right now we have 20, the Kings, The Magic are at number 19. The Thunder are 18. I'm sure people have them lower on their list. Pelicans are, I'm sorry, at a worse position, whatever. Pelicans are number 17, and then the Pacers are 16. First off, with the Pacers, the biggest issue with them right now is Victor Oladipo. If he comes back and is what we know he can be, or close to what we know he can be, then they'll skyrocket up the charts. That makes a huge difference. I mean, they could end up being in the conversation with as the top four team in the East.
But everyone remembers their series against the Celtics getting swept and being bad. Like, they were an embarrassment that series.
Right, but they have Brogdon now, which is huge. They lost Young, but, I mean, they invested in the right guys with the
They got Jeremy Lamb now.
Yeah, they got Jeremy Lamb. Why am I thinking of the big guy who just got extended yesterday? Sabonis. He got extended.
Oh, he got big money yesterday.
Yeah.
Like 4 for 75, 77?
It was like 75.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they've invested in the right guys there. Thad's over in Chicago now.
Yes.
Yes. Sounded very happy with that one. But yeah, the Pelicans one. Now, Matt had him at 13. This is all pre-knowing what Zion's injury was. Where would you have shifted them? Had you known, you had him at 13, they ended up at 17, where would you
I would probably have them where they are in our list that's all together.
Which probably would have bumped them down
maybe
to maybe even 18, 19, something to that effect. Ty, you actually had the Pistons in this grouping at number 19, and they got snubbed all the way back to number 21. Matt had him at 22.
I don't like the Pistons.
And I had him at number 20. Look at Blake Griffin, right? He's dealing with a hamstring right away. I don't trust that they're not going to fall apart as a team.
That guy isn't really, he's never going to play 75 games and be 100% healthy. He kind of deals with shit throughout the year and stuff. But
yeah.
I mean, I love Draymond. I love Andre Drummond. He didn't end up being the player that I thought he was going to be.
Yeah, when he shoots those threes.
Shooting threes now. But
lights out.
It's kind of a pick for me. I mean, I love Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose is my favorite player ever. And so you pair him, Reggie Jackson, Drummond.
I hate Reggie Jackson.
I like
it. I hate Reggie Jackson.
That's what I knew.
dude. What does Reggie Jackson do well? He sucks. I like D. Rose.
He's good at chucking shots up.
Oh, Reggie Jackson is unsuckable. Who did they play in the playoffs this year when they got swept? It was the Bucks.
It was the Bucks.
Right?
Yep.
He was awful. I watched that series. I'm like, this is why the NBA playoffs suck in the first round, because they got guys like Reggie Jackson who blow and they're on a playoff team.
This was the scores of the game. 121-86 was a sweep, by the way. 121-86, 120-99, 119-103, and then 127-104.
Not one game was good in the series, and I'm watching it, and like, Blake Griffin was playing hobbled and he did the best he could. But Reggie Jackson, man, I don't know how much money he makes, but he plays a lot and he has the ball in his hands. He sucks.
Yeah, he's definitely overrated.
He is brutal.
Definitely overpaid. The Kings are another one that I like that team a lot. Now, when I was looking over everything, Buddy Hield had not gotten his extension yet, because we finalized all this on Sunday. That was something I was concerned with in the course of things, how it was going to impact the team's chemistry with Buddy Hield being disgruntled the entire season, give reason for the Kings to kind of move on from him and ship him elsewhere. Obviously, they were put in a weird position because of Harrison Barnes and the contract that they gave him. Not good money. I mean, he's a solid player, but he's overpaid and he's tied them up quite a bit. I think I saw somewhere that someone in the organization, like an anonymous source, had expressed some level of regret over the amount of money that they've given him. But anyway, they're a team that I could see being a fun team to watch this year and being competitive against the good teams, but I just don't think they're there yet in terms of their young talent. De'Aaron Fox is good, but
no, they're starting like Dwayne Dedman at center.
Yeah, I mean, Dedman's a solid piece off the bench, but he's not a good
starter. The Hawks didn't even want him as a backup.
I think he's a solid backup. I don't think he's a good. He's not a good starter.
No.
I understand.
He's
that.
A guy.
He's a guy.
He's a guy.
He is a man.
He, that is for sure. Moving on to and then the Thunder too. We talked about this one quite a bit, Matt. If they have Paul the entire season, they could make a bid at the postseason, but it's going to be really tough for them still. Just looking at the Western Conference, I was going over all the win totals, and it's still going to be real tough for them to squeak in, but they'll be competitive because Shea's good. Steven Adams is going to be different this year. Well, you look like you're fixing a smile about something.
I'm thinking about the Oladipo trade that the Thunder and Pacers had. Oh, yeah. You traded Oladipo and Sabonis for Paul George, and now the Thunder have none of them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, talk about. I forgot.
That's so yesterday. That's the shit card I have in my face. Just about the random NBA memory.
Oh man, that is rough one. I mean, it almost worked out. If those two had stayed in Oklahoma City this year, then it would have been different. But then you may not have the duos matchups like you have if those two stay. Because then who knows where Kawhi ends up? Bringing us to number 15, we have the Heat at number 15, the Raptors at 14, the Mavericks at 13, the Nets at 12. And then the Spurs at 11. Now, I think you both were pretty low on the Nets. Matt had them at 14. Ty, you had them at 12. Okay, you right where you had them. And then I had them at 13. Oh, okay, so never mind. I mean, I just think in terms of talent, I'm very high on Torian Prince. I've gotten to watch him quite a bit with League Pass and everything. Obviously, I got to pay attention to him a little bit with work and everything. I like him a lot. I like Spencer Dinwiddie. I understand the Kyrie drama and we're not going to play the cut, but him talking about the China stuff, I don't want to hear it, but he's just, I'm hearing things where it's like, Tigers don't change their stripes. And him talking about the team and everything, and how he talks about Kenny Atkinson sometimes. Look, Kenny Atkinson and Brad Stevens are different. Based on, Kenny Atkinson, I don't think he's going to put up with the crap that Stevens might have put up with. And I think that will help them in some ways, or it could end up, they could implode as a result, but I think they're a much better team than they were. I think they're a better team than they were last year. I think Prince is going to play a huge role. I'm high on Joe Harris. And I believe it or not, I think DeAndre Jordan's going to help with the whole Kyrie crap.
You want me to respond?
I'd like someone to respond.
I really just don't want to go down this rabbit hole of how much I think Kyrie's just, he's the worst.
Media has broken up locker room.
Obviously, if KD was playing, they'd be a lot higher up. I'm just not a fan of any team now with Kyrie being the main dog. I just don't believe in them.
Well, I mean, we're not talking about putting them in the top 10 in the league.
That's why I have them that low, I guess is what I'm saying.
But they're a playoff lock in my mind.
Oh, in the East, yeah.
Definitely. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Jesus Christ, the Hornets might be in, too.
And all they really did, if you took last year's roster to this year, was swap D'Lo for Kyrie, right?
Well, they also added they added DeAndre Jordan. They added Torian Prince. They added Garrett Temple. Yeah, those are pretty much
the roster's improved without even thinking of Kevin Durant.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, exactly. What were some other ones?
Where'd you have the Mavericks at? Well, you said they were really high, right? For you guys?
The Mavericks, I had them at 12. You had them at 17. And Matt has them at 12 as well. There were only a handful of teams, and I wrote this down somewhere. Oh, no, I wrote it here. There were only a handful of teams we were in complete lockstep on. The Blazers, which we'll get to shortly. Obviously, we haven't mentioned them yet. I think the Spurs. We were in lockstep on the Spurs. That might be it. I'll try and find the other ones. Oh, and then our number one team we were in lockstep on, too. I think it was only those three.
So you guys had him at 12. I had him at 17.
Yeah.
I love Luka. Kristaps is great, obviously.
But you have concerns.
But you're starting DeLon Wright and Dwight Powell with backups as Jalen Brunson and something named Maxi Kleber. Dorian Finney-Smith is your backup power forward.
I love that duo. I like him at 12.
That's a fun team to watch, but I don't think I'm not sure if they're a playoff team.
The West, yeah, that might not be, but that close. Doesn't mean, to me, how I like ranking them, I get it, it's like NBA power rankings, there's supposed to be no East and West, but I like them that high because I think, in the East, they're easily a top five team, I think.
Yeah.
With those two.
Yeah, I mean, like, the Raptors will have a better chance at making the postseason than Mavericks do.
Yeah.
But if you're talking who's a better team, I'm going with the Mavericks.
I think
1-2 punch, I'm taking that.
You move the Mavericks to the East, they're not a top five team.
Who do you think is better than them?
So I would go just from the rankings, Bucks, Sixers,
yes.
Celtics, three. Nets, Heat, Pacers, Raptors.
I would not take the
Heat. The Heat are so much better than the Mavericks.
No.
Really?
Oh, yes.
I have the Heat at 16. You have them at 13. Matt has them at 16 as well.
Their starting lineup blows the Mavericks out of the water. You have two really good players in Dallas's lineup. The rest of the guys are
really good players.
Yeah, but you don't
need... You remember how good Kristaps was before he got hurt.
We haven't seen him since he got hurt.
We haven't seen him since a major
injury.
I've seen him play in the preseason.
And then you have, with Miami, it's Justice Winslow. Tyler Hero, I think, is going to be really good.
Tyler Hero will be
Jimmy Butler's a star. Kelly Olynyk, he's
what
okay.
do you mean by what do you mean Kelly? The fact you brought up Kelly Olynyk,
how are you
just...
bringing him up? As soon as you bring him up, it's like, yep, see ya. Out the door.
And Bam Adebayo. And then you got Goran Dragic off the bench. I think that team, your top six, with Deion Waiters at seven, that seven is so much better than any seven Dallas could put out.
He got suspended, right? First game of the season or something like that?
Yeah.
Deion Waiters did?
Yeah. I don't know if he's getting fat again.
Who's your top two on the Heat? You said Butler and who?
On the Heat?
Yeah.
I would go Butler, and at this point, it's probably their backup point guard, Goran Dragic.
No, I'm going Luka and Porzingis. It's not even close.
Right, but that's... I'm talking about rotation.
You don't... This is what I think like the NBA is getting away from, is that you don't need more... Like, the Celtics last year, they had a better team on paper.
Yes.
But, like, do those pieces fit? Does Tim Hardaway Jr. fit? Does the guy right... I think he's a three-point shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure because he played on the Raptors. I remember that guy. Powell actually has been pretty decent. Like, he from where he came... I think he's from Stanford, if I'm correct.
Yeah, he is.
But, you know, he's grown a lot in his time in the NBA, so... And he plays differently than Porzingis. Porzingis is more of like a obviously a stretch, and Powell's more around the rim, athletic, dunking the ball. So I don't know if you have the right pieces around those two superstars. Like I like that. I don't know.
They got Boban too, of course.
Oh, if they got Boban, that's
game over.
Boban and Seth Curry, you're all set, right?
By the way,
oh, that's right. They have Curry too, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. They have some good, decent pieces. I like it.
Speaking of
I'm a big Luka guy.
Do you guys realize Udonis Haslem's still in the league?
Yeah.
He's been playing longer than Tom Brady for some reason. It's unbelievable.
Wait a minute, he's been playing...
I don't think so, but it's got to be close. It's like Julio Franco territory.
I can't believe that JJ's still in the league too. Berea, that one's another one that blows my mind. That guy's been around forever, and he's been with the Mavericks forever. Vince is the one who's been around since the longest of anybody. Look, Brady's is more impressive, and I would say... I would say Carter's is more impressive than Udonis, but I mean, I can't believe Vince still has a job in the league. I know he's not, it's different, but that blows my mind. The Spurs we have at number 11, too. I think that's a very good spot for them. When we were talking about the Payday Pod, one thing that came up was how there's concern that they didn't do much in the offseason, which, you know, they're in a position where they can't, but I think that that's a good thing for Pop, because now he's got the same guys who are used to his system, who have bought in. You extend Murray. We saw White's, you know, had some growth. We saw a little bit with Team USA. And then I think DeRozan and Aldridge are solid pieces. We're not talking about title contending. That's a different story. But I think that Pop getting those guys back like that is almost a better thing for him than bringing in new guys. And DeRozan was new last year, too. So I think that they're in a spot where they're good, but...
Yeah, they're a solid squad.
Solid squad, but I don't think that... You know, I just have a tough time imagining them making a run in the postseason, but we'll see what happens. All right. So, Ty, how are we doing on time? So I can gauge like where we can kind of slow things down a little bit with some of these teams, because now we're in the top 10.
28 minutes.
Oh, awesome. All right. So, number 10, we have the Portland Trailblazers. Ty, you have them at... No, this is one that we were in lockstep on. Them and the Spurs were in lockstep on for sure. I think that Nurkic is still out, so that's one that is going to play a big role. How do you guys feel about Whiteside coming into the year? Because you actually were talking, about the Jaylen Brown stuff.
I think he's better than I think Whiteside's better than Nurkic.
You think Whiteside's better than Nurkic? But
I think he's one of the elite rebounders and rim protectors in the league.
But don't you get worried about the fact... I mean, look...
I think he's dumb as a box of rocks, if that's where you're going, but...
Yeah, I mean...
He's not even dumb as a box of rocks. I think he's just a lazy piece of crap.
He probably is.
There's a reason he got traded right away when they got Jimmy Butler.
All he was trying to do was get his 2K rating up. He did it, and he got paid, and now he doesn't care. So
he was telling me that... He was looking at all the guys that take up a certain amount of cap space in the league, and what was the amount?
It was like the top 40 guys in terms of cap hit.
And then he said he'd rather have the money... That goes to Whiteside. He thinks that's a better investment, right?
I think so, yeah.
Better investment than the Jaylen Brown money. I don't agree with that.
It's about similar money,
Wait,
I think.
That's
what Ty said.
We're joking?
So no, Ty said that.
If you have $25 million a year, are you giving it to Jaylen Brown or are you giving it to Hassan Whiteside? I give it to Hassan Whiteside because he's starting on this Celtics team.
What, dude, Whiteside sucks. I hate to say, he really is an overrated... Big goof, dude. He literally is the laziest piece of shit I've ever seen step on a basketball court. He really is. He's a waste of space. What? Because he's 7 feet and he might block a couple shots. Give me Jaylen Brown. As much as Jaylen Brown pisses me off sometimes, I will take Jaylen Brown because I know he plays hard.
He does always.
Always. That never is in question. Whether some of the stuff he does pisses me off.
Makes the decisions. We talked about
but
that.
But I can live with that if you're playing hard. Hassan Whiteside does not play hard. I wouldn't give that guy 25 smart. Bucks. Never mind 25 million.
Ty, you looking up stats right now or something?
No.
Okay. All right. I think you understand now where we stand. All right. Now, number nine, that brings us to the hometown team, the Boston Celtics. Matt has them as his number nine team. Ty has them as his number nine team. Oh, were we in lockstep on this
no,
one?
No, you have
no,
at eight.
I had him at number eight. I actually had, yeah, I was very low on the team. I had at number nine. I think that was a tough grade on my part, but we'll get to that a little bit later. So number nine, first we have Tim Bontemps, right, from ESPN, talking a little bit about the Celtics' interior defense and how he's concerned overall about their defense this year.
Having seen the Celtics this preseason, I am extraordinarily concerned about their defense. People talk so much about Kyrie Irving leaving. Kemba Walker's about as much of a like-for-like replacement as you could get. Maybe look at the center spot.
Are you laughing at him using extraordinarily concerned?
Yeah, you. Yeah.
Who is this guy?
Tim Bontemps. Be nice. I have to see him all the time.
He's a former Washington Post writer.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, no, I know, but I know your ass, and I know what you're going to say. I know it.
Having seen the Celtics this preseason, I am extraordinarily concerned about.
Have you ever been extraordinarily concerned about anything in your life?
Probably, but I wouldn't define it as that.
I'd probably be like running down a street, like trying to chase after like my dog who got loose because I'm extraordinarily concerned I'll never see him again. I don't know.
I am extraordinarily concerned about their defense. People talk so much about Kyrie Irving leaving. Kemba Walker's about as much of a like-for-like replacement as you could get. Then you look at the center spot.
Such a nerd.
And going from Al Horford to the collection of guys that they have, Enes Kanter and Daniel Theis, Robert Williams, I just really struggle to see how they're going to stop people enough defensively to be this good. Now, they have some pieces they can maybe swing to make a trade. If they can get a center, I think they have a chance to compete with Philly and Milwaukee atop the East. Otherwise, I think they're going to score a lot of points and struggle. I am extraordinarily concerned.
You're terrible.
No mas. No mas.
Tim, I apologize. I can't control Matt.
I am extraordinarily concerned.
I can't control Matt.
That is not the voice of a guy who is extraordinarily concerned about anything.
I am extraordinarily concerned.
I am extraordinarily concerned.
He's not going to be able to talk if you keep playing that game.
You guys take it away. I don't know.
It sounds like Mark Zuckerberg when he's like trying to show like emotion. He's like, please compute emotion now.
Tim does a good job covering the NBA. Or extraordinarily concerned might be a bit much when you're talking about a team's defense, I will say. But look,
I am extraordinarily concerned.
The thing that Brad likes is having a bunch of wings, the switchability that that provides. So he's got that. I mean, that's what he wants. Are the bigs in question? Absolutely. I like what Theis brought in the last few games. I understand they're playing scrubs in the course. The Magic without Vucevic, the Cavs, which are, you know, basically Matt's middle school team that he coaches. I understand that. But the Hornets, you were down on them, right? We're all down on the Hornets. And the Celtics interior defense looked terrible against them. All I'm saying is, as much as Theis is not Horford, he's not Baines, I do think that him being in the system and those guys having some level of trust and knowing where each other's going to be will help them to some extent this year.
No, we have Enes Kanter. You remember your boy there?
Gilroy, I'm going on with him tonight.
Ask Gilroy about him.
I will be a heat.
I'm not extraordinarily concerned anymore. Gilroy told me.
He kind of made him.
Yeah, he told
me. He's coming on.
He told me Kanter's going to average 14 and, you know, whatever. And
which he might.
Yeah, and he'll just, you know.
I don't think he'll be a seeming,
you know, nothing's going to come of it. It's just, you know, we got Kanter now. Horford, I don't even remember who Horford is anymore.
Who is Horford? What's that?
I don't know who that is. We got Kanter.
No, but seriously, I feel.
No, but seriously.
Enes Kanter.
I'm not concerned.
Enes Kanter.
Enes.
We're all in agreement. They're clearly at least the third best team in the league right now. In the Eastern Conference.
I think they could be the surprise team, if that is even a word. I think people are sleeping. Like when I hear people talk about the East, it's Sixers, Bucks.
Right.
Right. The Celtics are kind of like the team on the outside. I don't know. I could see them surprising people. If the chemistry's better, obviously their one weakness, I think, is their bigs. Because I just don't think they're as I don't know, Horford and Baines, as much as they Baines could drive me nuts, I liked what they had in that combo.
Baines could drive you nuts?
Yeah, just some of the stuff he did, like, offensively, I just didn't like. But I know that was, like, Brad's doing, like, him shooting threes.
They got to play Aaron Baines more.
Oh, that's Chuck, right?
They got to play Aaron Baines more.
Well, I mean, he wasn't entirely wrong when he talked about that.
Nah, he wasn't.
He was huge on the defensive
end. No, but he drove me nuts, like, offensively.
I can understand that. He was nothing on the offensive
end. But I'm saying those two are so solid. I don't know. I just don't like – I'm not a fan of any of their bigs.
I feel better about Tice than I did before.
I've always loved Tice. Don't get me wrong. He's just not a starter.
But for what he needs to be, I'm saying I feel better than I did at the start of the season. But I've always felt fine about him. It's just in the role that he was in, he has to take on a significantly greater role. I'm worried about Ogilvy. You're going to rely on Grant Williams to do what Ogilvy is going to do. I don't necessarily feel great about that. And I don't feel good about Cantor defensively at all.
Poirier. It's time for Taco.
Poirier. Yeah, okay.
I got to watch more of Poirier. I guess I just didn't watch him enough.
I feel Poirier off the bench, he didn't get a lot of minutes, which I'm a little confused by, but he's technically sound. Defensively, he switches well, he moves well, and he's not necessarily looking for offense. But he runs the floor, and he can help out.
Which is what Ennis, not Anus, Ennis is good at. He's not good at technical stuff.
No, he's not. He's not. But that's and the thing that I'm most surprised by with Cantor and watching him, I thought he was going to be able to handle guys backing him down on the block a little bit better, and I've not been impressed with that either. So there was, but at the same time, I feel good about Jason Tatum, better than I ever have going into a season.
I think their guards and their wings I think they're the best in the East when it comes. If you think overall depth and guards and wings and positions in the East, tell me a better group.
And that's the whole thing. Isn't that what the league had kind of shifted towards?
I think it is.
More?
I think it is. I mean, obviously they'll have troubles when they face Embiid and Horford. But
I'm extraordinarily concerned.
You got to save those. He can't help himself.
You got to stop.
What is Tim Bontemps?
I'm extraordinarily concerned
about this week.
Anus. That's what he's.
All right.
Anus Gana.
All right. So then we have who's number 8?
Anus Cantor.
The Denver. Oh, that Reamer showing back up. We have number 8, the Denver Nuggets. Matt has them at number 8. I have them at number 9. Ty has them at number 6.
Ooh.
Well, Tyler looks like a genius now because where he has the Warriors in the course of all this. Because it's almost like he saw the Klay Thompson no return coming.
No, he's coming back. Kurt came back on that comment.
He came back on that comment?
The door is still open.
Yeah, he said, I don't know what Ty said.
It was unlikely, and then...
He said unlikely, but he's like, no, it's not like he's definitely not playing.
He's definitely coming back.
Yeah, there's no way he does it. It's a torn ACL. Right. It's normal these days, you know?
Has there ever been a coach that's like, oh, yeah, he's absolutely coming back?
No.
Like, no, you don't get ahead of... What is the phrase here? You don't get the horse ahead of...
You don't put the horse ahead of the cart?
Yes.
Cart?
Okay, that's what I'm trying to say here. Yeah. And that's what they're doing. So they're never going to say he's absolutely coming back. They're not going to do that. There's zero chance.
So the Nuggets, my big concern is, as much as Jokic had an awesome year last year, goes and packs on a few pounds, I just don't know how he's going to how that's going to have an impact over the course of the season. They're going to be good. And the other thing is, whereas the Spurs... are good because they don't necessarily go and add anybody else. I think that almost plays to Pop's advantage. I do think with the Nuggets, as much as they added, Jeremy Grant from the...
Yeah, that was a good
That's
addition.
A good add. It's a small piece, but it's an impactful piece. I just don't know that they're... Like, when I did the win totals, I don't think they're going to see much of a difference, but I think part of that problem is that some of these teams got better and they kind of stayed the same.
Yeah, I can see that argument.
But either way, we're not...
I think their growth depends on their two guys.
Harris and Murray? Or you mean Jokic and...
Yeah,
Murray.
Jokic and Murray.
Okay.
I mean, if they can get Gary Harris to be
like a stud...
I love
Gary Harris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's why I didn't know which one you meant.
Yeah, no, I meant Murray. Okay. The two guys they paid, right?
Fair enough. I don't know. Absolutely. Then we come to, so that was number 8. So number 7 is the Golden State Warriors. Matt had them at 6. Ty has them at 7. And then I had them at 5 because I was thinking that, but that was a dumb move on my part.
No, that's not dumb. I like them.
At the beginning of the year, though, they don't have Klay Thompson. I mean, look, I'm not far off from either of you guys, but at the beginning of the year, they don't have Klay Thompson. That makes sense. But having D'Lo, who was it? Bontemps, right? He talked about the Warriors, too, having serious issues at the beginning of the year. If you got to laugh, just let it out. Just
turn off my mic so I don't laugh.
You don't play the Tim Bontemps on the Warriors?
Yeah, Tim Bontemps. Talk about the gaps that the Warriors have in talent right now.
I am extraordinarily concerned about... If Steph Curry goes out and averages 40 points a game, then maybe he can drag the Warriors to the playoffs in a way like Russell Westbrook.
Does Tim Bontemps like the NBA? Give me some emotion.
What do you mean drag?
The only Steph Curry.
Sometimes these guys, like when they report, it's just like very deadpan, and I don't.
It's like when you go to the worldwide leader, like they neuter you of any like emotion. Like a lot of their like Woj has no emotions.
But I was gonna say Woj is the only guy I'm okay with. Him and Schefter, because they are reporting strictly carefully what they are being told. I mean, you hear him when he's on with you guys, and he's like very particular.
Even like Shams says like nothing, completely monotone.
Yeah, that one and he's very young to have that to be like that.
Sorry, Tim, here's more of the clip.
If Steph Curry goes out and averages 40 points a game, then maybe he can drag the Warriors to the playoffs in a way like Russell Westbrook did a couple years ago when he had all the triple-doubles for the first time and they won 47 games and a bunch of late-game heroics from Russ. Like, that path does exist. But this team has so many massive structural flaws. And I just think it's going to be extraordinarily difficult for them be good enough to live up to the expectations that some people have for them.
Why do I hear... pencil in the background. That was weird. Did you notice that at the very end? Like, if someone's like taking
extraordinarily difficult for them to actually be good enough to live up to the expectations that some people have for them.
You hear that?
Yeah, so that's from the jump, I think. So it's probably Rachel Nichols. Steven Jackson writing some notes.
Well, I mean, you have D'Lo. Yes, he's not a good replacement for Klay Thompson, but he's still a very good player.
They don't have massive.
You have Draymond. You added Willie, who I imagine is going to be better in that system.
I don't know.
I was thrown off by that one. Massive holes.
He didn't even sound like he was. He put the Warriors in the playoffs.
No, he didn't. He said Curry would have to drag him
to the playoffs.
He's comping him to Russ when he had the triple doubles and had to drag the Thunder there. Come on,
this team is much better than that situation.
Absolutely,
not even a question.
I don't get that at all.
Be extraordinarily difficult for them.
He loves that word.
He does. That's a good. That is a very good point.
I am extraordinarily concerned.
Me too.
Extraordinarily difficult for.
If I get approached,
I am extraordinarily concerned.
It's not my fault. If I get approached, Tyler's fault. Yeah, he keeps playing on.
It's true. It is Tyler's fault. I'm gonna tell him to call OMF.
Come on the podcast next week, Tim, and we'll dig deep into your love of the word extraordinary.
Oh, by the way, so everybody knows, programming note, and I'll mention this in the intro too, or hopefully I mentioned it in the intro. I should say we're gonna do next week probably same situation because the Celtics are gonna be home. Is that gonna be all right with the two of you guys?
Yeah.
And Ty's already here. Does it matter to you, Matt?
I should be good.
Okay, just so everybody knows, we will be flexing between Wednesday releases and Thursday releases throughout the season. It kind of depends on the Celtics schedule, just so everybody's aware. But we'll be letting you know throughout. Anyways, back to the power rankings. Number 6 on our list, the Utah Jazz. Matt had them at 5. Ty had them at 8. Wow. And I have them at number 4. No secret, I've been high on the Jazz since they added Mike Conley. Am I a little biased? Possibly. I'm not ashamed of it at all.
Nope, but I like their squad.
They add Bogdanovich, too. The better Bogdanovich, I like. I mean,
Mike Conley?
And then you have Mike Conley, and then you have Donovan Mitchell, who I was a little frustrated with Team USA, but still a very good player.
Right.
You have Rudy. You have Matt's guy, Joe Ingles, who he sweats.
That's my dude.
Yeah. He loves Joe Ingles.
Joe's a good guy.
Joe gets bucks.
So... my question, though, is for you, Ty, why do you have them down at number 8?
So the Western Conference teams that are ahead of them, I don't think the Jazz are better. I mean, I think when I looked at the power rankings, I did it more so for the playoffs. And that's why I have the Warriors ahead of them, because I'm thinking, okay, it's D'Lo, Steph, and Klay, those three, in the playoffs. Draymond, home court, there's no way I think the Jazz would beat them in a playoff series. That's probably my thinking on that one.
Okay.
You guys couldn't put the Nuggets ahead of them, did you?
I didn't put the Nuggets ahead of them.
Right, so I wouldn't do that, and then from there it's the Rockets.
You put the Nuggets ahead of them. You put the Nuggets at 6 and the Jazz at 8. Matt put the Jazz at 5.
I'm sorry, I said it the other way around. I would not put the Jazz ahead of the Nuggets. I'm saying all the Western Conference teams, they're not better than.
No, I would put them ahead of the...
You put the Jazz ahead of the Nuggets.
We both did. I think Matt and I both did.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I put the Jazz at 6. I went Nuggets 8, Warriors 7, Jazz 6.
Weren't the Jazz like a half game away from being the 2 seed last year?
Who?
The Jazz. I'm sorry, I keep confusing the Jazz and the Nuggets. Weren't the Nuggets...
Very easy mistake.
The Nuggets were a 2 seed, weren't they? Or three seed.
I'll pull up the
like two through six was so clogged up.
The Nuggets are good. I like the Jazz. I like how the Jazz are constructed. I think the Jazz's problem last year was Mitchell. I think if Donovan Mitchell.
He's another guy that didn't take that step forward.
No,
that
he didn't. And I think Mike Conley might help with that. But Donovan Mitchell down the stretch of games, you know, kind of was a mess. So
I do love having Jokic as like the point. It's not even a point forward. It's like the point center. Like, I love those.
No, he's a great passer.
The Bulls teams that had like Joakim Noah playing the point guard, that made those teams so much better. I really do love Jokic running the offense. I don't know.
So there were five teams in the West last year that won 50 games. The Thunder had 49 wins. The Jazz were at 50 even. They were the 5 seed. The Nuggets were at 54, and they were the 2 seed. One game ahead of the Blazers and the Rockets, who each had 53 wins. And then the Warriors were obviously the number one team. So
Jamal Murray stepped forward this year, hopefully.
Yep.
Gary Harris, same thing.
Okay. That brings us to, where are we at? We're at the Jazz. Number 5. The Philadelphia 76ers. I don't think it takes much to explain this one here. I think it makes total sense.
Are they, my biggest question about them, are they better than last year?
I mean, I don't think they have to be, though, in the East necessarily.
No,
that's the thing.
They don't.
And I know that we're talking about some of these other teams in the West getting better, but I do think that the Sixers would hang in the Western Conference fairly well, obviously, based on how we ranked them. Where do I have the Philly?
I have Sixers at 4.
You have them at 4. I had them at 7, and you have them at 5. I just think that look, don't get me wrong, I think they're very good. Wait a minute, did I have them at 7?
And they're in the East.
Am I looking at the wrong one? No, I did have them at, scissors at typo gang over here.
Nice.
But anyway, yeah, I think that they're, I look at the teams ahead of them. I think I like the Jazz more than them. I like the Warriors more than them. But again, I was doing it with the whole Clay thing being factored in. I would not have him ahead of them.
I do it as an East thing. I just think the Sixers are going to, at the end of the day, going to have more wins because they play in the East.
Oh, yeah.
They might have more, but we don't always just base it on the wins, right?
I just thought like that's how they do power rankings.
Sometimes, no, that's not always the case. That's not always the case. I think otherwise that would just be standings. I think someone's written that, but I've seen someone written
that.
You said
you would take the Jazz over the Sixers.
Yeah, I would right now. I like that lineup. I think it's more complete.
Ben Simmons can shoot now. You got Joel Embiid.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes. Al Horford.
Is Ben Simmons making a case for the 3-point contest this year?
He should. Maybe send in some tape.
I think he'll end up being the leader in the league, or at least top 5 in 3-point percentage.
Ben Simmons can shoot from the outside.
No, did he say that seriously?
Ben Simmons can shoot from the outside.
Now, we've been accused on this show of taking things out of context. Did he actually say that?
I have a date, April 30th, 2018.
Okay, when he hasn't made a 3-pointer yet in the NBA.
Wow. I'm taking Glenn, you heard the audio. I'm taking him at his word for it. So he says it.
Oh, no.
That's his truth, though.
It's funny because when we talk in the office, he sounds so smart when it comes to his basketball takes. And then he goes on air, and then it's like he gets nervous in front of the mic or something. It's like, is this Glenn's first time on the radio every time? I don't know. Anyway.
This may be a pants-off day.
Okay. All right. Number 4, the Houston Rockets, which will be a little bit of a point of controversy here because Matt had them at 7. I had them at number 6, which I think that's pretty fair, right? We're in the same ballpark. They're at number 4, though, Matt, in our power rankings. Do you know how that happened?
Ty had him at 3.
Because we're the number 1 Daryl Morey fanboy on our show.
It's just factual that James Harden is a better scorer than Michael Jordan.
He put them at 3rd in his power rankings. Please.
I don't think that's that absurd. You have probably... Is it crazy to say it's probably a top 3 offense in the NBA?
I mean, but we don't know if it's going to turn into that with Russ and him. I mean, look, over the regular season, they're going to be good, obviously.
I think at the end of last year, Chris Paul was not the Chris Paul that we are accustomed to seeing.
No, he was not.
He could not make a 3-point shot. He was still defensively the guy we know he is, but he just really couldn't contribute scoring-wise to that Rockets team, and it really affected them, because if your major ball handler is not a guy that can score, then he's Rondo.
But he's not even their major ball handler.
Then he's Rondo?
Yes, right. But he's not their major ball handler.
You have 2 major ball handlers. It's Chris Paul and James Harden.
But it was Harden that was the number 1 guy.
Yeah.
And Paul couldn't do what he does best. I mean, yes, he shoots 3, but facilitating is one of the things he's best at, and he couldn't do that.
Right.
It's just factual.
So then you're throwing him in the corner to catch passes off James Harden to shoot 3s that he can't make?
Exactly. But
now you have Russ.
But now you have Russ grabbing the ball and going and attacking the rim.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Chris Paul had no chance of doing that.
Chris Paul can't go to the rim?
What's he going to do, just a floater?
Chris Paul's a better scorer than Russell Westbrook, I think, personally.
Oh, no way.
Why?
I mean,
tell me in what ways is Russell Westbrook? Is Russell Westbrook?
He's more explosive at the rim. He's a better finisher at the rim.
Who's more explosive at the rim?
Russ.
Chris Paul has a better all-around scoring game. He has a better three-point shot. He has a better mid-range shot. Obviously, Russ has the advantage going to the rim, but Chris Paul still can score at the rim.
He can shoot. Yeah, I like Russ. I really enjoy watching him play. He's not a shooter in any capacity. No. I mean, he can't.
let's put it this way, and I know.
What just happened?
Oh, I thought someone died. Anyway.
That Josh Hart?
Yeah.
R.I.P. Josh
Hart. I thought his foot was on the other way. But anyway.
No, he's
fine.
Okay.
Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, who are you taking in that prime?
He rolled his ankle a little bit there. Sorry.
Yeah, it's all good. Okay. Who would you take, Ty, in that prime?
Chris Paul or Russell Westbrook?
Well, only one of those guys has ever done a triple-double average in a season. So,
I'd still take Chris Paul.
I would agree with you. Chris Paul at his peak was better than Russ.
Yeah. You're starting to love those numbers more and more by the friggin' day.
That was a total joke.
But I get what you're saying. Chris Paul was on the decline last year, like health-wise and everything.
For sure.
And he's older, but...
We talk about chemistry, and that's important, and that's my biggest hang-up when it comes to the Rockets. Yes, they have two guys who are very explosive offensive players. James Harden is one of the best ever at getting to the free throw line, but I don't doubt James Harden's going to score, and the team will do well offensively, but I don't know how well they will do, because I don't know what Russ is going to end up putting forward throughout the course of the season. He's limited by not being the one who's kind of in charge of the offense, even though he came in as a shooting guard, really. Right. So that is my biggest hang-up. Yes, they're still a top-tier team, no questions asked. They have a ton of upside, but I'm surprised that Ty... The thing is, I think you and I are in the minority on this. I think Ty is in the majority.
I'm not saying what Tyler, his point, whatever, you think he's third. No, I've seen it all over the place. People are high in the Rockets. I will personally never put the Rockets high on any of my lists. I hate them. I hate the way they play. I hate for what they stand for, about the stats, all that BS. Like, it's not the way you play basketball, so I will just always vote against them.
Unbiased, unprejudiced, fair.
Fair.
Matt Medeiros.
Yep.
For sure. We'll put that on a t-shirt.
I just don't think it's going to work either. That's just me. It's not going to work.
I don't think it's going to work in the end.
Have fun winning 50-some games and then losing in the playoffs while James Harden shoots you out of it.
They got a good rotation, though. I mean, look, this is their bench. Their bench right now, their bench unit, take out the complete starting five. You bring in Austin Rivers, Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker, something named Gary Clark, and Tyson Chandler.
You're not hating on PJ right now.
No, not PJ. I'm not a big Austin Rivers fan. I like Gordon a lot. I'm not an Austin Rivers fan, though.
Gordon is another good one, too. PJ Tucker is right there. That's my kind of guy.
He was starting last year for them.
Who's their starting wing right now? Who's project? Is it PJ?
Actually, this depth chart is wrong. Starting lineup was Russ, Harden, Gordon, PJ Tucker, Capella, with the backup bench being Rivers, Gary Clark, Chandler, Tabo Sebalosha. Ben McLemore with Ryan Anderson as their 10th guy.
Why are you going to have
Ben McLemore? That's a name. What a bust he's been.
I mean, I understand having Gordon there as like your fourth quarter lineup, but that's what I don't understand sometimes, the starting lineup. You're just going to have all the guys who score.
I don't think that's. I think that team was better when they had Chris Paul. The year they took the Warriors to 7,
they were gonna win.
Ariza.
They should have beaten the Warriors.
They would. Yes.
That's what
Paul
I'm saying.
Paul doesn't get hurt, they win it.
That's what I'm saying. That team was better constructed than this team.
I would love to see the Thunder go in and kick their teeth in. I would love to see that. I like Russ, but I just love to see that happen for Chris. And I'm not a Chris Paul guy, but I'd like to see that happen for him.
I want
to
see
just because of James Harden and Daryl Morey. All right, that brings us to number 3, the Milwaukee Bucks, which we were all pretty close on that.
Matt had him too.
Matt had him at number 2. Tyler had him at number 4, and I had them at number 3. So you know what? We're just going to reveal the top ones that we have. That leaves, obviously, the Lakers and the Clippers. Lakers go at number 2, Clippers number 1. Matt has the Lakers as the 3rd team. Tyler has the Lakers as the 2nd team, as do I. And then we all have the Clippers as the number 1 team entering the season. Even though Paul George delay start to the season, fine, whatever. I don't care. I mean, I still think that they're the team to beat. But why are you not putting the Lakers as the number 2 team ahead of the Bucks?
I guess I did the same thing. I just think the Bucks are going to win more during the regular season, so they'll be higher on the power ranking. I don't know. That's just
in a game. Lakers.
Lakers, no doubt.
I'm surprised you have the Bucks as the number 4 team, though.
Which of the three teams I have ahead of them would you move down?
The Rockets. Rockets.
I don't know. I think the Bucks are worse than last year.
How? Well, they lost.
You lost Brogdon. You lost Brooke Lopez.
You didn't lose Brooke Lopez. He's still there.
Are you sure?
Yeah, he's still there. Okay. Yeah. But the
Nikola Mirotic is gone.
Yes.
He went back to
that one. That's a big
loss. He went back
on
receipt. He was a good player for them down the stretch.
Yeah,
he had a lot of
Bobby
threes in the playoffs.
Portis kicked the shit out of him in practice.
Bobby Portis should have won that fight every day of the week.
You know what's one that I one ad that I like for them was Korver. I think that's gonna
be helpful. Kyle.
Oh, I think Korver's like done.
all he's got to do is hang around 3-point line, and that's exactly what Giannis needs.
Then sign Max Strus, whatever that guy's name is.
Hey, what
he's
me?
With the Bulls. Max Strus with the Bulls.
Free agent.
You want to play?
Free agent.
You are a free agent.
I can play with Giannis.
You just got to hang around the three and hope that your guy leaves you wide open, because otherwise you're going to get blocked.
No, I won't get blocked.
Antetokounmpo.
Dude, those cuts are just unbelievable. What the hell did he just say?
Antetokounmpo.
See, when you don't have it,
Giannis' last name very phonetically by Glenn. Antetokounmpo.
If you don't,
Thanasis Antetokounmpo.
No, he had
his brother.
Thanasis Antetokounmpo.
Oh, so wait a minute. His brother's in the game. Then he should be getting the name right. There's no excuse for that.
His brother's in the Lakers now. That's why the Lakers are two.
Right, but wait.
No, I'm just kidding.
But if you're not gonna, I'm thinking that's a cut from like 2 years ago where I understand we're all still kind of don't know his name. Just call him the Greek Freak. If he's talking about his brothers, then that's this year or something like that.
This one.
Antetokounmpo.
Is April 29th this year.
Oh, Glenn, that's embarrassing.
Antetokounmpo.
Is that Tom Heinsohn?
Antetokounmpo.
That's Tom Heinsohn, right? He gets a pass. He's a Hall of Famer. He gets a pass. Glenn, not so much. Anyway.
Just call him the Greek Freak. Just keep it very simple.
Exactly. If you can't say his name right,
I'll just say how I do. Giannis.
Yeah, exactly.
Giannis!
There you go. So another thing, I know I'm plugging the Payday Pod a little bit. We're going to have a bonus episode from them with them a little bit later on in the... Actually, later on in the day after we release this. One thing that got brought up by Shime was how the Lakers... We were talking about over-unders, and I think he put the Lakers at the under for... their win total, it was something like 50, what he pulled. And the reason he thinks that is because he thinks LeBron is going to identify that this, you know, they'll identify this is a team that can contend for a title, which we all look at that right now. Absolutely a team that can contend, make it to the playoffs. But he'll kind of coast, in a way, a lot of load management. They'll do it with AD too, and he's going to go and kind of, you know, manage those things, I guess, those the team that way. Do you guys think that's a fair take?
Yeah, but that's kind of what LeBron does anyway.
It is.
The past, I don't know, since Miami Heat. Miami Heat, he sort of played hard on defense and all that. He's ever since he's left there, he's kind of picked his spots in
exactly.
the regular season.
He does pick his
He'll
spots
do the same thing.
On defense.
He'll do the same thing.
My question with the Lakers is not about LeBron. It's more about Anthony Davis. That guy never finishes a season. He's always playing 40 games, 50 games, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's the big question mark. You know LeBron's going to play 55 and sit a bunch, but it's all about Anthony Davis. If he finishes the year, then the Lakers can be who we think they are, but that's the biggest question for me.
I think that's a fair point. I think I totally can get behind that. I don't really have anything to add to that.
I think I just stunned you at that point.
You're right. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Are we done with the rankings?
We are done with the rankings.
There was one more guy I wanted to play.
Was it MJ?
No, in terms of the rankings, this is a Fox Sports 1 analyst, and I just want to go ahead and roll the clip.
Okay.
All right, as I often do, I'm going to do 7 here. To me, there are 7 legitimate contenders for the NBA championship. I'm not including Golden State and Brooklyn because this is as presently constituted. Obviously, if KD comes back early, if Steph comes back early,
you're already off to a bad start because Jen and I did our preliminary list and we have 8 teams. Because Golden State, with their reputation, they should be on there. That's just what we did this
Okay, well, if there wasn't 8, we would put Golden State. Instead, you're going to say you have real issue because of who I have number 7.
Let me see.
Number 7 is the Los Angeles Clippers. I think the Clippers are a good team, but a massively overvalued in Vegas when people say they are the championship favorites. How could you not love the additions of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George? I understand that.
So then why,
and they will have one of the greatest perimeter defenses we've seen in modern NBA history. They do not have rim protection. And when Paul George is out, and by the way, he's out until November at least, double shoulder surgery this offseason, I think they're going to struggle to find offense. By the end of the year, we will see. But the Clippers, while a very, very good team, I don't think they are close to the favorites out West. I got them at number seven. Three.
So who was his favorite? Was it the Lakers?
He had his favorite was the Lakers at one.
Oh, it's a shock.
Bucks two, Rockets three. So me and Nick kind of align here. I like that. Sixers
right.
four, Nuggets five, Jazz six with the Clippers, the favorites to win the titles at number seven.
So that was Nick Wright of FS1?
Nick Wright, yes.
Oh, that's your guy, Matt. Why didn't you tell us, Ty, beforehand that was Nick Wright?
I just found it.
Oh, okay. You just found it.
Can I put my headphones back on?
You can put your headphones back on. He's done talking. I was telling him before.
Nick Wright sucks.
You just like him more than Kellerman.
It's pretty close. Kellerman has his stick, and he just kind of just like does the same thing. Where I feel like Nick Wright is like pretty sure he knows everything about anything.
100%.
Like where you know, like Kellerman, like with the Brady Cliff, for instance. Like he does it because it's his thing.
Right.
I don't think he truly believes in it. And I think his role is the opposite of Stephen A. Smith, where I think Nick Wright honestly believes the shit he says. And it drives me, like, the Clippers 7, are you shitting me?
Garcon, you boost the light?
He's an ass hat. That's what he is. He's an ass hat. That's what he is.
That's his attempt at Gershon Yabusele.
Garcon Yabusele?
Come on, man.
Pierre Garcon Yabusele.
The Clippers are an easy lock at number one. I mean, there's a reason we all picked them. It's a no-brainer. I understand Paul George is going to have to start.
And if you're not doing it, you're trying to get attention like Nick Wright.
Exactly. I mean, it's like you act they have nothing
seven,
else on this team.
Seven. That, he could have said
they made it to the playoffs.
He could have said three, and I still wouldn't have reacted like this. Seven?
They
oh, my Christ.
They made it to the playoffs last year.
Kawhi just won a championship with this assemble of friggin' average players I'm watching on the TV right now.
I think the Clippers are a good team, but a massively overvalued in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
You know why?
I couldn't wait till he gets to one so he can talk about LeBron.
You know, why Chris Carter likes working with Nick Wright? Because that's his fall guy. Because anytime Chris says something stupid, it's like, it's not as dumb as what Nick said.
No, Nick's an asshat.
He is so, I mean.
He's an asshat.
I understand he just does this stuff to get the attention. And so then podcasts and radio shows will talk about him and blah, blah, blah. That's what they want. Fine. You won this round. But, I mean, seriously, they made it to the postseason and put on a good show with Shea as their best player. They canceled the season almost when they got rid of Harris and everything. You go and add Kawhi. You still have Beverly. You still have Lou Williams. Come on. You're gonna
seven.
Seven. Well, you add Kawhi. That's totally, like you said, it's totally him.
Why do you think I took my headphones off? I refuse to listen to that dude.
So, going forward, Tyler, we should never, ever.
Do you want to hear the explanation of Lakers at one?
Oh, yeah, please. Actually, I do want to hear this.
And number one, it's obvious at this point.
It's
they
obvious.
Have the best duo in basketball. They still have the best player in basketball. They have the best big man in basketball. Los Angeles Lakers. The only question to me is Frank Vogel and health, as it is for every team.
Frank Vogel.
Health I have confidence in. Frank Vogel,
Frank
we'll see.
Vogel.
I also think the Kuzma injury, could actually be good for them in this regard. I think Kuzma's best role might be sixth man for them, being the offense off the bench. That's the role he's going to have to come into, given the fact that he's starting the year injured. The Los Angeles Lakers, the best team in basketball, and the favorite, to me, to win the NBA
Just
Finals.
Just
the fact that he throws Frank Vogel under the bus, that pisses me off. Dude, that Pacers team that he coached, and this is not an original take, but I love it.
Yeah.
That team that he coached with the Pacers, they would have ran through the East last year. They would have easily won the title. No questions asked over the Warriors.
What, like the Paul George, Darren Collison, Granger,
when
David
Roy
West,
Hibbert?
Hibbert.
Was, you know, Roy Hibbert.
That team was fun to watch.
They were, oh man, I loved that team. I really did. When Paul George stood up to LeBron and just, it's such a joke. Frank, you're going to throw Frank Vogel under the bus. Spare me. Anyway, we had one last cut that we didn't play, and I think it's worth touching on because I think there's been some confusion with this. So this is Michael Jordan on the Today Show talking about how Steph Curry's not a Hall of Famer. You watched the clip, right, Matt?
That's the headline, is he thinks Steph's not a Hall of Famer. But
it's misleading. This is why, seriously, there are times, look, people talk about clickbait and stuff. They're clickbait and then using a headline that is like going to grab your attention to get you to read the story are two totally different things. Clickbait, this is clickbait because this is BS. If you think about, if you listen to the whole thing, I didn't right away and I got caught up in it. Now we go and listen to it. We'll explain why it's clickbait. Go ahead.
Someone asked you if you could pick four guys for your pickup team, four guys that you play anybody else with. Hakeem Olajuwon, Magic Johnson, Scottie Pippen, and James Worthy. That was 6 years ago. Lots happened in the league in 6 years. Would you keep the same four?
In a heartbeat. When I'm going in the trenches, I played against and with all these guys. I'm going with who I know. Every single night, that responsibility to go out there and represent greatness every single night.
So Steph Curry shouldn't be offended when he watches.
I hope not. He's still a great player. Not a Hall of Famer yet, though.
To which?
He's not.
Cheers.
Cheers, my friend.
I enjoyed this.
To yeah, which... it's clickbait because if you just see the headline, you would say, Michael Jordan says Steph Curry's not a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. And someone actually did say that to me today. I'm like, well, that's, what is Jordan, like, drinking on the show?
Which he was. On the show. Yeah.
Which I didn't know because I didn't see the video. Mm-hmm. And then when I actually listened to it, I'm like, oh, no, he's saying he's not a Hall of Famer yet.
No, but the thing is that Magic Johnson pointed out on Twitter, he can't go and say stuff like that because he's going to get in trouble for tampering. So already saying he's a great player, he can get in trouble. Like, that's these guys got to be that worried about stuff.
Which is so dumb. Don't you want Michael Jordan saying everything and anything about the NBA? Because whatever he says is getting picked up on every radio show and podcast across the country.
Exactly.
And it's free pub for your product. But yet, because of tampering... Him saying, I don't think Steph Curry is or is not a Hall of Famer, is considered tampering.
Exactly.
That's so stupid.
It's so
dumb. Who is his five? Olajuwon, Worthy,
four guys
Johnson,
for your pickup team. Four guys
Pippen?
That you play anybody else with. Hakeem Olajuwon, Magic Johnson, Scottie Pippen, and James Worthy. That was six years ago.
That's a tough starting five right there.
That's Tom Ty. The fact that Larry's not in there, though, and he picked James Worthy, I'm not a fan of that one, personally.
There's a reason.
Does he personally hate Larry? I don't know if there's a background there.
No, I can see, like, if I was thinking in this on a basketball scheme wise, I can see why I picked Worthy.
Well, enlighten me.
Oh, because they're gonna play fast.
Okay.
And Worthy definitely is
way
suited
faster
for that.
So you're just thinking they're gonna run and gun the entire time?
I don't know. From that squad, like Olajuwon's like a five that can move. Magic is, you know, the fast break guru.
Of course. Magic against Scottie.
And Worthy was kind of Magic's running mate.
Yes.
So, and then him and Scottie. Like, that five right there is...
Hakeem,
that'd be fun
I get.
To watch.
MJ, I get.
No,
I
still...
Magic,
I get why you say why isn't Larry there, but I'm just saying maybe that's his thought process.
I mean, if you're just going to run and gun the entire time, I feel like... I mean, I get Olajuwon. He finally moves well, but... I don't know. I feel like
you know how everybody has their guys.
Yeah, everybody has their guys.
Are you reading into him not picking LeBron at all? Like this was 6 years ago.
He would never. He would never pick LeBron.
Neither of them should ever pick one another.
Should or
shouldn't?
They wouldn't.
Neither of them should.
No, LeBron would pick. LeBron would pick Jordan because LeBron's soft.
He should, yeah, but he shouldn't.
But in I didn't say he should, but he's soft, so
in,
he would.
In a hypothetical list of five guys you put on the court in a lineup, those two, LeBron and Jordan, are on every single lineup. And if you don't have them, then your list is wrong.
Right. If we're
but those two guys
list,
would never do it themselves,
they
pick the other.
They shouldn't, because you should want to beat one another.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole thing, right? That's why we play sports and stuff. But I don't know. I mean, even then, if you think about... the functionality of teams, we talk about them, how they're built and everything. When you build these all-time teams, we always talk about having the most talent, and that's important, but at the same time, you got to have guys that work well together. What was it when we did the 2K generational teams, right? We talked about how how many are we going to have enough basketball? So there's only one basketball to go around. What team was that for? Was that the 2000s team?
Yes. Probably it was probably with 90s. Harden, too.
Yeah.
So that was the 2010s.
It was 2000 and 2010, because Harden and AI were on both...
Exactly. So, I mean, I don't hate the team you put together. It's just that Worthy over Bird to me. Again, I get your logic. It's just, I don't know how you don't have Larry on that squad. But you said the other thing, too, that he had to deal with them early in his career. And
yeah.
That could have been part of it.
He probably faced, you know, Larry at least once a month for 10 years straight. You know, at least, I'd say.
Yeah, it's probably what it is.
Same conference.
How many years straight did you say?
Probably 10 years straight.
I don't know if it was that many. But it's close enough. It was close enough. Played him enough times. Anyway, do you guys have anything else? We got the season starting. No, the season has started. Celtics season starts the day that this is coming out. We got everybody else getting rolling, too. Obviously, the Raptors, Pelicans, Clippers, and Lakers.
I'm excited. I'm excited for the Celts tomorrow.
Really?
I'm excited. Yeah. To be honest with you, I was thinking about this last night when I was watching the Pats game. I'm bringing football on this just as a fans thing.
It's okay.
Like, watching the Pats, like, I appreciate their greatness. I mean, we'll never see it again. But I'm watching last night's game. It's like, I've seen this game. For the last 10 years, I've seen this game.
This is why I say I get bored with football. Because it's the same thing over
and
over.
But it's with the Pats. Like, it's the same.
Exactly.
I can't get into that's why when El Prez says this, Dave Pornite, when he's like, the Pats season starts whenever the day of the AFC championship. He's not wrong. Like, that's literally when I start watching and I get, like, into the game and I'm excited. Like, last night I'm watching, I was just laughing because I thought it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, with the Celtics coming back, like, I'm excited because there's a couple things I get to do. One, I just get into all the games. When they're playing, it doesn't matter if it's regular season. I, like, get into the games. I get to go on Twitter and bitch about all the officials because I think they all suck. I don't know, and I just get really into the game, and I don't know why I get worked up as regular season basketball, but I'll do it tomorrow.
And we'll be tweeting throughout the course of the games to @TylerDevitt, @Matt_Madeira01, @Nick_Fryer. For all the non-Celtics games, though, I will tweet from the 5OutPod Twitter account. I'm obviously the one that operates that, but you guys will be tweeting. You guys will be watching the other games, of course, throughout all of it, too. We have League Pass at our fingertips, too, that we can use. Matt, who do you have for your...
Oh, my shout-out this week goes to my mom and dad. We're running a marathon on Sunday.
You're running a marathon on Sunday?
Me, my mom, and dad, we're running one together.
Your
Cape
mom
Cod,
a ton.
Cape Cod Marathon. Yeah, she just ran one in Chicago 2 weeks ago, so she's a champ. But
what?
Yeah, we're running it for Laurie Arujo, who has breast cancer.
I didn't know that.
And one of my mom's close friends has cancer as well. So we raised $6,500. So thank you for everybody that donated. And yeah, we're running Sunday marathon.
First of all, I didn't know that you were running in it.
Yeah.
And I apologize.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I've been keeping
it. I didn't know that Laurie had that too. That's terrible. Well,
so yeah, that's why we're doing the run, man. So it's going to be fun. Me and my parents, man, just running 26 miles.
That will, you have some good conversations.
Oh,
I'm
great
sure.
conversations.
All right, we will talk to you guys again next week.
What it do, baby?
Yeah, you already know.
I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to spend the night with it, yeah. I just want to be all right with it. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Hey, I got no resolutions, I'm just hoping for some...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.